Now, just two other things, Inspector, before you go. You mentioned road safety, and sadly, we're reporting this morning on further two road deaths in the last 24 hours in Northern Ireland. It's very concerning, the figures at the moment. And we've often talked on this programme and at other events about the road to zero. It seems to be a losing battle at present.
Well, I don't think that that's fair to say. I mean, our total figure of fatalities last year, it was down on the year before. You know, we are nipping away at those figures. We are, you know, collectively, you know, emergency medicine, safety of cars, you know, trying to improve driver behaviour. We are working collectively to bring those figures down, and they are coming down. Yes, maybe not as fast as we would like. And so, you know, it is incumbent upon every single road user to act in a responsible manner and to take their safety to heart and the safety of all their other fellow road users.
Yes, the message to every road user, regardless of how you are using the piece of tarmac or pavement that you are on. And the final question is linked to what I see a lot of people want to talk about this morning, the disruption in Belfast last night. And we have to keep in mind a person lost their life on the West Link, and procedures have to be in place to close off an area of road, a very busy area of road. I don't think anyone's questioning that. But when the police closed the road, and was closed for quite a while, Belfast seems completely incapable of coping with the build-up of traffic. And time and again, that's been linked to the bus lanes. Can some situation not be put in place that if indeed a tragedy happens, or for whatever reason you close a main arterial route, that people can then use the bus lanes to make progress?
Well, I mean, the bus lanes are not, you know, they're a piece of legislation that's been brought in by the Department for Infrastructure. It's their legislation. Yes, there's an opportunity for a police officer in uniform to direct traffic into that bus lane in an emergency. And maybe that is something we need to look at, whether we are able to put police officers to the bus lanes that would help alleviate the congestion in order to do that. But that is how it has to happen. We can't just send out a bulletin on the radio saying, the bus lanes are now open season. That is not how it works. It must be a constable in uniform directing traffic into the bus lane. That's what the law says.
Last night in Belfast, I wasn't caught up on it. I'm just listening to people who are talking about it. I'm sure you had police officers investigating the death of the young man on the West Link. But were there any other police officers across the city helping people to get home, stopping traffic, directing traffic, assisting? Was anyone tasked with that? Because time and again,
yes,
people are being gridlocked in this place.
Absolutely. I mean, I think if people charted and looked at the length of time that the road was closed last night, it was much shorter. We were able to compress some of our activities, and we were able to make early decisions about exactly how much we needed to do. And, you know, unfortunately, the experts that were coming to the scene were also caught up in the gridlock, which delayed their ability to respond. So, you know, it affects everybody. And, you know, whilst last night, and I'm not for one minute making any judgment on what happened, we appeal again, and particularly on the West Link, to people to abide by the speed limit on the West Link. It is reduced. It's not a motorway. You can't travel at 70 miles an hour on the West Link. It is 50. And people need to keep their speed down. It is the main arterial route through Belfast. You're right. When it is taken out, the other roads just cannot cope with the volume of traffic that is directed their way. So I will talk to my colleagues in Department for Infrastructure about the bus lanes and whether it is something that needs to be considered. But they will point to the fact that they are trying to encourage motorists out of their cars and onto public transport. And if you then take the bus lanes out of the equation in a situation like this, you know, what incentive is there for somebody to use the buses then? You know, so it is a bit of a vicious circle.
Okay, Inspector Rosie Neish, really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for speaking to us. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you to Diane. Diane, thanks for your time, and a reminder to everyone who's parking to consider guide dog users as and from today. Thanks for your time, Diane.
Pleasure. Thank you.
9:20 is the time. Good morning. I'm going to speak to some of you about this in general. Your calls are very welcome. I'll have a conversation with you in just a moment.
Your point, your platform. The Frank Mitchell phone-in for you.
Good morning, Lawrence.
Good morning.
Yes, Lawrence.
Good morning, Frank.
What's on your mind?
Frank, it's very sad we got this morning to find out yet another young driver has been killed on our road within a matter of hours.
Yes, unfortunately, Lawrence, we're waking up this morning to find that two young people have been killed on our roads, with one in Belfast and one in Cookstown. But yes, but I understand exactly what you're saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, and our thoughts and prayers go with our families and friends. Frank, there's really two points I'm trying to make today. First of all, when there's an incident on the West Link in particular, it takes a wee while for the emergency services to get on scene because of the traffic build-up. Once the emergency services arrive at the scene, they have to take their time and deal with the patients, because I worked for the ambulance service for 34 years, so I know exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the police have to secure the scene for the benefit of the patients and the emergency service personnel. Once the patients are removed from the scene, police have to get the vehicles off the road, and then they have to do their investigation. So this takes a wee bit of time. Unfortunately, it has to be done, but it has to be done. The second point, Frank, is, has nobody from the department ever thought of, there's a solid wall structure up the middle of the West Link the whole way. Given the amount of accidents and the disruption that has caused since the West Link opened in the 80s, could they not take, on say like a Sunday when the road's quiet, take about 100 metres or 50 metres off the middle of the centre reservation away, every few hundred metres, so that if there's an accident heading countrywards on the West Link, that bollards could be removed and the police could close the road on the other side and have a counterflow system, thereby at least alleviating part of the system, and that would work both ways, going to the city or coming from the city.
Yeah, that's a very good point. If that was possible to do, if engineering allows it, that would be an option. Sadly, when there is an issue on the West Link, and there have been quite a few of them recently, the absolute city comes to a standstill. And I don't think it's any coincidence that it's dovetailing, all these hold-ups are dovetailing with the bus lanes. And if I was in town last night, snarled, I would want to go in a bus lane to make progress, but I wouldn't go in it because I would get, I think it's a £45 fine. So people are sitting in the traffic, and the bus lanes are there to be used, and no one is using them, understandably, because they don't want to be forking out money to the person operating the camera. So we sit and we sit and we sit, and the frustration's added to and added to and added to.
Right. Well, there's another situation that could possibly be resolved only in an emergency situation like the one at the West Link yesterday. Could there be like two little green LED lights on top of the bus lane signs that if there's a major incident on, say, the West Link or the motorway or the M2 or the M3 and traffic's coming to a standstill, that cars can use the bus lanes during that period for the emergency to relieve the pressure off all the roads. And once the emergency's cleared up, lights go off, bus lane in action.
Yeah, I would think maybe that would help. It would help. I know some of you would say, you'd only snarl up the bus lanes. Everywhere probably will get snarled up at some point. But if you've got extra lanes, it's going to help. Let me speak to Seamus, who's in this line. Morning, Seamus.
Good morning, Frank.
Yes, Seamus.
Hi, Frank. I'm from the Freight Transport Association.
You're from the Freight Transport Association, Seamus, and the traffic disruption must impact significantly on your members.
Yes, it is, Frank, indeed. Yesterday evening was just a prime example of that. Obviously, you know, our condolences to the family of the gentleman that passed away, sadly. But I think the situation, and Rosie Leach touched on it, the West Link, when a road fatality takes place, there's the necessity for it to be closed down for the investigation. And that has a knock-on effect for the rest of the city. And for our industry in particular, a haulier is paid to take goods from A to B, regardless of the time it takes. So if you're sitting for an hour or two in traffic for a haulage firm, the costs significantly increase. And the running cost, Frank, for a typical HGV is around about £1 a minute.
You're hoping that this will be resolved when they finally sort out the issues at York, over at York Street and York Gate and whatever. That may take some time to we see it flourish. The Freight and Transport Association, where the roads are being used day and daily by your hard-working staff, it must be incredibly frustrating. And where do you stand on the increasing of the bus lanes? Does that impact on freight and transport to any significant extent?
It does, Frank. It's a bit of a double-edged sword for our industry. Ideally, we want to see less cars, especially going in into Belfast in the mornings, because less cars, they are the ease it is for HGVs to get into the city, because there's some road users have no choice but to be on the road in the morning, and those would be public transport, lorries taking in goods for shops, restaurants, etc., and then cyclists as well who are going in. So we would like to see a reduction in cars going in, and we see the need for the bus lanes to help in that. But it does restrict our ability to get around the city, and also for parking as well in the city. We have a lot of members have contacted us in the last year where they're getting fines where a vehicle is pulling in front of a cafe or a shop to make a delivery. And to be able to make that delivery, they have to cross over a bus lane, and then they're getting a fine.
That must be very difficult. It's bound to be annoying and all of those things that spring to mind whenever you're trying to do a day's work. But that sometimes manifests itself in poor driving from people who may or may not be your members, where lorry drivers feel they literally can stop where they like.
Well, Frank, I suppose that's another point as well. In the city, it's simply the infrastructure isn't there for lorries. I look around places like London or a lot of European cities. Priority is given to buses and for commercial deliveries to the businesses that are, you know, are at the heart of any city centre. And in Belfast, we simply don't have that. For the whole of the city centre, we have 17 HGV loading bays, which I have talked to Transport and I about this in the past, where we dramatically need to increase the number of such loading bays.
So do your guys literally put on the hazards, get out and start lowering the lift at the back of the lorry?
There's cases, yeah, I won't deny that. There's cases where a driver will simply have to drive around the city centre, keep lapping a couple of streets looking for a spot, and there's simply nowhere there. So they're left with no choice, maybe to have to stop in front of a premises where, you know, let's face it, in today's economy, all shops rely on just-in-time deliveries. And our members are under pressure to get the goods to shops at a certain time. So sometimes the driver's left with no choice, but as you said, Frank, to put on the hazards and make a quick delivery.
You see, I have far more sympathy for the guy on the lorry than I do for the man on the bus, if you don't mind me saying. Maybe it's because I have an understanding of having grown up in a shop and how important deliveries are to the shopkeeper and ultimately to the customer. You, however, if we trace this right back to how the conversation started, and your members have an incredible responsibility when it comes to all road users, and that includes people who may be, for example, availing of the services of a guide dog, who don't expect that massive truck to be blocking their progress on and off the street.
Yes, Frank, you know, safety is the primary concern really of our industry, not just for the drivers themselves, but the vulnerable road users around them, particularly pedestrians and cyclists. I know this year in particular in Belfast and in Newry, we've had some of our drivers actually out on bikes doing a safe urban driving course with Sustrans. So it's something we're proactively working on because we realise when you're in somewhere like Belfast city centre, there's restricted views, and a lot of the general public aren't aware of the blind spots around lorries as well.
Yeah, this is very, very important. It's a life and death issue. And it's good to know that you're liaising with Sustrans, who are very much into their bicycles on that, because everyone must be kept safer on the roads, every road user. Seamus, the Freight and Transport Association, Seamus Leahy, thank you very much for your time, Seamus. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.